Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome to the Next Level Podcast. I'm your host, John Alkire. Thanks for joining us this evening for episode number 5. I hope everyone is off to a great start this new year. And for those who have subscribed to our podcast from the various platforms, just want to say thank you for your support. We continue to grow rapidly with played episodes every single day, continued growth. And we just want to say thank you. And we hope and pray that our content, that these episodes, that the message is adding value into your lives. If you missed episode number 4, we talked about the 6 stages of spiritual development. As Christians, when we said yes to Christ, we are on a journey of growth and maturity. And you may be one who have asked that question, been a Christian, so now what? Or I just became a Christian, so now what? We unpacked this in episode number 4, so if you haven't listened to it, please check it out and let us know what you thought. Okay, folks, tonight, episode 5, we are going to talk about 6 resolutions to revamp your relationship with God. I'm going to challenge some of you, and I hope you accept. We are still in January, and many of you probably started a resolution of some kind. And I hope it's going well, honestly, and I hope you're staying the course, but statistics would suggest that most resolutions are finished by February. No, not February of the following year, February of this same year. But tonight I have a better resolution for you for 2019. I am asking those who do not have God first place in your life to begin tonight. At some point, you said yes to Jesus. I want you to stop and think for a minute about that time in your life. Where were you? Who influenced you? What was the reason you said yes? Some of you may have been in a really bad situation. Maybe it was your last stand in life. Maybe you were riddled with addiction and you needed something to change. Or maybe you just wanted to have a relationship with Him. Whatever the reason you accepted Jesus and you chose to follow Him, the Bible talks a lot about the cost of following Jesus, and we went through it in episode number 1. But why isn't He in first place today? What has become more important in your life? You know, God demands first place in your life, and you call yourself a Christian, right? We call ourselves Christians, but it's time to be one. The world needs you. God needs you to live a holy life so that you can be used by Him. He has plans for you to do good works for the kingdom. He needs you to lead your family well. He wants to help you accomplish your goals. He wants to help you in your career. He wants you to get other believers off the sidelines, and He wants you to lead others to know Him just as you have gotten to know Him. Here is the real challenge. All these things we put as priorities in our life, or the resolutions that you've thought of or that you're in the middle of, they are all temporary, with temporary results, if you think about it. What we're talking about tonight have eternal gain and eternal results. Because if we die tomorrow, we will be judged and we will be standing before Jesus and account for our lives. Romans 14, 10 through 12 says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God. we are going to be measured based on how we followed his commands. Did we follow the law of love? How did we do conquering our sins? Did we live like Jesus did? How did we do in our works? How do we handle opportunities that were given to us by God? How do you stack up on these tonight, I ask? If you were to go to heaven, how would that meeting go at the judgment seat of Christ? If you are ready for the next level of faith in life in 2019, wherever you are, grab a pen and a paper. And if you're at home or on an airplane right now or in your car, well, don't write anything while you're driving. Pull off to the side of the road. But if you are in the middle of a workout, make sure you get home and you replay this. But I want you to write these commitments out. If you're up for the challenge and you want real resolutions that are eternal, I want you to make a vow to God that you're going to go all in. I want you to take a piece of paper and follow along. No more lukewarm. We know how Jesus feels about lukewarm. He says in Revelations, he spits out lukewarm Christians. No more half-hearted or floundering. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but when I speak to you in this podcast, when I share these six resolutions, I believe that I'll speak to you where it really matters, where it really means something, and it's time to take a stand and make a change. So if you're up for the challenge, here we go. Resolution number one, recommit your life to Christ. I know you accepted Jesus at one point in your life, but he hasn't been number one in your life recently. And I want you to reconnect with him. Get on your knees if you have to. Recommit your life to him. If you're married, tell your spouse that you've recommitted your life to Christ and that you want to recommit your marriage to him. He demands first place in your life. He demands first place in your marriage. And he has brought you together as one flesh and spirit. And even the Bible says, why did he bring you together in flesh and spirit? Why did he bring you together as one? So that you will produce holy offspring. He wants your children to know God. He wants your children to be holy. So it matters. Recommit. Will you do it? Write it down. Will you recommit your life to Christ? Just you and him. You and your spouse do it together as well. Resolution number two. Repent your sins and your idols. The Bible, even Jesus, multiple times says, those who repent will not perish. Bring all your sins into him in prayer, whatever they are. Your greed, your lust, if it's pornography in your lust, or if it's just your wandering eyes, your anger, lack of self-control, jealousy, rage, envy, drunkenness. This is a big one. I personally battled the wine thing, so that's why I want to put this in here. The Bible is very specific about not being drunk on wine, and if you are, it's a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. I see often on social media other Christians in the church that are posting lavish wine drinking weekends. This could become an idol in your life or a sin if you're using it to an extent that you're getting drunk or buzzed. I would write this one down. Selfishness. Here's the deal. Don't try to cover any of them up or pretend anything is not a sin. Write them down. I want you to put them on paper. What might be one for you? What are you struggling with? 1 John says, we are not to sin. But if we do, confess them to Christ. Bring these to God as resolution number two. Bring your sins to God. Psalms 90 confirms that we can't hide our sins, where it says, our secret sins are in the light of your presence. Bring everything. Don't let any stone be left unturned on this. Paul says about our sins, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't mess around, folks. And as far as idols, idols are things that we envy or that we put a lot of energy and time into. What are those things that you're spending more time with than God? What has been more important than God? Is it yourself? Is it alcohol? Is it money? Is it Netflix? Is it Xbox? Whatever yours is, bring it to Him and turn from it. God wants to work through us. Let our light shine before others so that they may see our good deeds. We need to be the branches that produce fruit. The Bible's clear about branches producing fruit and branches that are not. And the branches that are not are going to get cut down and thrown in the fire. We want to produce fruit. And therefore, we must be holy. And to be holy, we need to remove ourselves from sin and idols and put God number one. Because sin and idols separate us from God. They put a wedge in between us. So resolution number two, get rid of those tonight. Bring those, confess those, as 1 John says, and move from them, as we say. And repent means to move away. Resolution number three, pray daily. You can't have a relationship with Jesus if you don't talk with Him. He wants to have a relationship with us. And you might ask, John, I don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to pray. Well, Jesus in the Bible just said, go into your room, close the door, just you by yourself. Shut out the lights and talk with Him, just you and Him. And you may be somebody that says, hey, I just don't have time. I've got little kids. I never have alone time. I get interrupted all the time. I have kids too. I have four. I understand. But maybe you need to establish some boundaries in your life and make prayer a super priority. We're only talking 10, 15 minutes or less. Prayer needs to be part of your daily rhythm. But you also might ask, but what do I pray about? I don't know what to pray about. Well, James says, pray for wisdom. Maybe you just say, hey, God, give me wisdom today. Give me your wisdom, not my own. The Bible also says, like in prayer, petition. Bring your petitions. Present your requests to God. It says that. What requests do you have? Bring those in prayer. And the great thing about the Holy Spirit is the Bible says it intercedes for us in prayer. When we don't have the words, we don't know what to really say, it'll intercede. Our counselor will intercede and communicate our prayers and requests to God. We can confess our sins in prayer. We can thank Him for our blessings. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, he asked God to give his servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of man. Very cool prayer. Pray for opportunities in your life, opportunities to share your faith, opportunities in your work. Pray for those who may be holding something against you. Jesus says in the Bible to ask for anything in His name and He will do it. So there's a lot of things you can pray about. If you are married, you have double duties here. You get with your spouse and commit to praying together at least once a day. You can pray for each other, your family, your finances, your careers, some big decisions you need to make. You can bring your petitions. You can pray for one another's struggles. If you've gone through some pain, bring those before God together. I will tell you, there is no better intimacy that you can create in your marriage. Not any better intimacy, folks, been coming together before God and praying to Him, praying for each other, praying together. If you haven't done it, I urge you to do it, but I call you to do it as a resolution here in prayer. Pray daily. If you're an individual, single, pray every day, pray throughout the day. If you're a married couple, you're praying individually, but you're praying together at least once a day. I pray throughout my entire day. In my car is my favorite place. People think I'm talking on the phone, but nope, I'm talking to Jesus. I really am. I may be talking on the phone, but there's a good chance I'm talking to Jesus. I pray at work before meetings. I pray throughout my entire day. I've even done what Nehemiah did in chapter 2 of Nehemiah. You got to check it out. It's very cool, and it helps us. And this is why reading the Bible, which is our next resolution, is super important. But I learned this from Nehemiah. He's with the king, and I'm not going to get into it for time's sake, but he's going to ask him to allow him to go to the city of Judah so that he can go rebuild the city. And it's a big request. And as I said earlier in there, he said that, you know, grant your, Nehemiah asked God to give him success today by granting him favor in the presence of man. So he's with the king. And it literally says in chapter 2, it says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. He prayed while he was sitting in front of the king. In his heart and mind, he prayed some little prayer, whatever it was. It doesn't say specifically, but he prayed in his mind and heart to God while he was sitting in front of the king. I've done this in my workplace. I've done it in business. I've been in meetings. My customer had gotten up and walked away, and I just remember out loud, if there was a camera in there, would have seen me. But I was just like, hey, you know, God, just guide my words, guide the direction of this meeting. Let it go the way it is intended for me to take it. Allow us to have success, you know, whatever that may be, just bring it to him. So you can be praying throughout the day, and I urge you to start that in resolution number 3. Pray daily. Resolution number 4, read the Bible. As we mentioned, you have to take time to get in God's word. It is not an option. It is one of the 3 criteria that we went over for a prosperous life, and we talked about in episode 2. To get prosperity from God, one of the 3 was be in the Word and study the Word. It is our life manual. It is God-breathed. It is God's words to us. As the Bible says, meditate on it. So we will do everything it says in it. We are to use the stories and teachings to apply them to our life. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. These words come from the Bible. God speaks to you through his words and through the Bible. So many times, the Holy Spirit will guide you to a verse or to a book that you needed to read, that he wants you to learn, that he needs you to know. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, those who hear these words and put them into practice will be wise and build their house on a rock. These are the words coming from the Bible. You have to grab a Bible if you don't have one. I recommend a hardback copy. I know we are in the phone age, but having a real book matters. You can make notes in it. It just seems like a better experience. I urge that. But don't tell me you don't have time. As we talked about getting rid of idols, some idols that took up a lot of your time and energy, if you remove those out of your life, I think you'll find room and time to get into the Bible. You might be saying, well, where do I begin? You know, a lot of times I hear people, I don't know where to begin in the Bible. It's 66 books. It's a lot. And I would tell you my recommendation, and someone might tell you something different, so I urge you to ask some other people who are reading the Bible or your pastor. I love the book of John. I just feel like John gives us such a real intimate picture of the life with Jesus. He was really close with Jesus. He followed you. I mean, he just writes intimately. And I just think it helps you relearn who Jesus is. I think it's important to relearn. If you haven't been in the Bible, let's relearn who Jesus really is and why he came, what he taught, the things he did, the amazing miracles and things he did, and how he led his people and how he loved sinners and how he came for the sinners. And you just learn so much about Jesus that you may not know about. So John is a great start to that. But start daily. Get into it daily. Find time in there before the day starts or at the end of the day as one of your resolutions, as resolution number 4. Resolution number 5, tithe. Tithe. If you are not tithing to God, if he isn't number 1 on your expense ledger or in your budget, change it. As I said, God demands first place, and he commands us to give. The Bible talks about a tenth, which is debatable if you look it up, but the Bible talks about a tenth of what we have. Start with something. As proof of the tenth and a little bit about tithing, I'm not going to read the scripture tonight due to time, but go to the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy and read verses 22 through 29, and you'll get some of that description of tithing, and you'll see the tenth. You'll probably tell me I don't have enough money in the budget, or I don't have I just don't know if I can. I'm in debt. Yeah, you probably are in debt, right? Debt is a problem for us. But I urge you to get your financial priorities straight. And it's time to get those right. And if you are in debt or you feel like you don't have the money, this is a great time to put prayer into action with your spouse or with yourself and pray over your finances. Pray over financial decisions. Ask God to intercede into your finances and help you along. He will. I've worked with several Christian families on their budgets over the years, teaching Financial Peace University. And I will tell you, if you look deep into and closely into your budget, I'm going to be pretty confident that you can clean up some habits and some unnecessary spend areas. And I think you're going to find money to give to God. You want God to help your finances and bless you? Put Him first in the budget. Your first fruits. Give to God first when you get your paycheck. I don't know if you're into a church or you're going to a church, but the sad statistics are that 3 to 5% of a congregation of a church tithes. 3 to 5%. Well, what does that tell us when we hear that? If we're not putting God first in our finances, who, by the way, controls everything. Let's just be clear. God is in control of everything. If we believe He is the God of the universe, He controls our money, He controls our life, He controls our careers, and He gives and He takes away, as we hear so often. So why don't we give it first fruits? It's His. So put Him at the top. I have some stories. I taught FPU classes, as I mentioned, several years ago with my wife. And we would go through the couple, many couples weren't tithing as we were talking about this specific subject. They just couldn't find the money. And man, when we went through the budget and they were honest and upfront, we cut through it. We cut some of the waste and some of the stuff they shouldn't be spending money on and cleaned up some things. They found dough to give to God and to give to their church. And I'm going to mention it today, but God promises blessings to givers, right? And I'm going to read from scripture on this. But when these couples started to give who weren't not giving their tithe and started tithing, the stories of blessings that they encountered were unbelievable. I got phone calls in the middle of the day. When we would meet up the following week in the class, we would hear the stories. And I know by my wife, Carrie, and I's our own life and the blessings that we've experienced from God by being tithed, by tithing to Him, by putting Him first in our budget and giving to Him first. He promises us blessings to the point in the Bible where He says, and I think this is the only place He ever says, test me in this. And it comes from Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. He promises to bless you. Now, that's not, don't have your heart set on, oh, okay, now I'm going to find money and He's going to give me a bunch back, right? Those blessings may not be totally financial. It most likely will, but it may be different blessings that you're going to experience. I just want to be clear on that. But He will bless you and your family. But put Him first on your finances. Start tithing your church. Wherever that is, if you haven't, go through your budget, make some decisions, cut some things, and start giving, putting God first in your finances, and you will see Malachi 3:10 come to fruition in your life. And resolution number 6 is fellowship. Get with other believers at your church. If you're not at a church, get into one. They're not perfect. You're not going to find a perfect church. So don't even go there. Find somewhere to go. You need to be in fellowship with other believers. You need to surround yourself with other believers because we're meant to do life together. Stop hanging out with people who don't want to have a relationship with God, who don't want to live for God. That is not going to help you. Get into marriage classes or a group. Start a men's accountability group, a women's Bible study. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." We need to be encouraged with other believers. We're living holy lives, right? We're taking a stand here. We're making a shift from sin and the worldly desires. And so we need to be with others to encourage and spur each other on and keep us inspired and motivated. I quick story, I started a men's group called The Race, and it was what was put on my heart. It was an accountability group. It wasn't just your typical small group. It was an accountability group. And I felt God just leading me there. And I'm sharing this because this could be you starting something like this. But women or men, right? But this was a men's group, obviously. And our foundational verse was Hebrews 12:1. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, so that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We knew that to be men of God and to grow closer to God, we needed to be together and we needed to hold each other accountable. And so these groups are still meeting today in my community every week. And men are growing in their faith. We've seen healing in marriage. We've seen habitual sin go away. We've seen people's faith just soar. We've watched God pour blessings upon blessings on men who have just made this commitment and are following God with everything that they have. But the men's accountability has been critical in keeping on point. And when we falter, we've got brothers there to encourage us, as the Bible says, and spur us on. So fellowship, it's a must in here. It's a resolution that I'm urging as resolution number 6 that you join into a church and groups. Again, if you have other Christian families that you're friends with, maybe just having once a week, getting together for dinner, bringing the families together, and just being together is exactly what God intended for us to do. And so I urge that. So that's the challenge tonight. I hope these resolutions are something that you can grab a hold of. And again, as I mentioned, you know, we as Christians, when we said yes to Christ, remember where we are in our faith. If we were to die, when we are going to die, we're going to be in heaven. And it says in the Bible, we are going to stand before God or bow before Jesus or the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be held accountable in our life. And if you're looking at that and thinking about that like I have and not feeling too good about how that meeting might go, this is a great place to start, is have resolutions that have eternal gain and have eternal internal results. I'm not taking away from the resolutions that you have going on of losing weight or goals for your business or goals for your financial life. That's all awesome. But these resolutions, these 6 resolutions to revamp your relationship with God have eternal results and eternal purpose. And I just urge you to just write these things down and put them into play and let God work through you the way he is. Live out your faith on earth. Live a godly life. And so I just hope that this is something that you can grab onto, that you can commit to. I promise if you do, God will do amazing things. You will watch him answer prayers, work in your life, pull you through trials, bless your finances, steer your career. He wants to be with you all the time. Make the commitment tonight. Don't wait. Don't give excuses. There's nothing more important than your commitment to Christ. For it is not your plans and your goals that have temporary results, but it is the plan for eternity. 6 resolutions to revamp your relationship with God. Start tonight, okay? Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great week. Excited to bring you episode number 6 soon. Again, thank you for your support on the podcast. And we hope this added value. And we hope this spoke to your heart. And we hope that you can put these resolutions into action in 2019. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody.